In brightest day.
In blackest night.
Radio show. Chris Owen, Walter DeRiley.
Excelsior!
Crush your enemies, see them driven before you, to hear the lamentation of the women.
All right, welcome to Comic Culture, the radio show that champions the local comic book shop. We're broadcasting at 93.3 CFMU McMaster Radio. And we're podcasting at comicbookdaily.com and getthepointradio.com. I am Walter DeRiley, Overstreet's Price Guide Advisor.
And I am Chris Owen, Professor of Comic History at Hamilton's Mohawk College.
And as always, we are your fearless vampire killers.
Driving a stake through the world of comic books.
Ah!
Oh, God!
He got me!
Oh!
Vampires feel pain? I guess they do.
I would think so, yeah. Especially to wood.
To wood,
stakes, yeah. Wooden
they
stakes.
Hate wood,
yeah. But don't they also
I
like
a girl that hated wood?
Yeah, once. Well, yeah. You know, it happens sometimes. Don't they also don't vampires also hate like you know garlic and stuff like
they
that?
They hated
too?
Garlic. They hated. I believe they hate. I know a couple of vampires hate anchovies. Hate
yes,
them.
It's or true. It's true. Well, you know, I don't like fish either.
Yeah. Listen, why are we here, Chris?
We are here to champion the local comic book shop.
Champion the local comic book shop. Today being Wednesday, you and I get together every week to
we do.
Talk comics.
Talk comics. Comic shop.
Comic shop. Yeah. Talk about what's new in the world of comics.
Absolutely.
Talk about what's hitting the local comic book shop today in terms of new comic books.
And what's going on in industry news and all that kind of fun
all
stuff.
That kind of stuff.
We love comic
it's
stuff.
It's a jam-packed show. You know, there's a reason why we're the number one show on CFMU.
We're the number one show on CFMU?
Actually, I'm not sure.
Oh,
but
okay.
As of right now,
great,
as of right now, we are the number one show.
You know what? We're the number one show right now.
Right now, on CFMU.
Yes, to us.
And there's a reason we are, and that's because we cover all the bases.
Absolutely. All right. Well, let's get started with new this week, and new this week is brought to you by horror comic books full of gore, violence, and terror. Visit your local comic book shop today and pick up some for the kids.
Yeah.
You know, I think that more people should give out comic books in their Halloween grab bag kind of thing.
You're absolutely right.
Of like an O. Henry bar, and you know what? It'll help to keep the diabetes down.
You're absolutely right. Remember, comics, not cavities.
That's right.
And you are right. But then you're going to get that little kid. I was going to say pudgy, but I refrained.
Yes.
Okay? You're going to get that little kid who goes, "Hey, Mac! What's the deal with the comics here? Give me my O. Henry bar."
I don't like no reading.
Yeah. What do I know from reading?
Yeah.
That's great. Personally, though, Chris, you know, the sponsor there, I hate those gore and blood comics.
Yeah, I don't like
them.
I don't like them.
They're terrible.
They're all blood and gore and just for the sake of being blood and gore,
blood
right?
Blood and gore. Just sensationalism.
Yeah.
What can I do to shock this week?
Yeah, what can I put? Yeah, exactly.
All right.
Yeah, let's show some entrails.
But listen, maybe I shouldn't have said that during their sponsorship.
It's probably not the best of ideas, but you know what? Let's go on and let's just talk about comics. Let's
all
see
right,
what's
maybe
coming
forget.
Out new this week. For the first comic, I decided to choose National Comics' Madam X number one one-shot.
This
is
Madam
by
X.
Rob Williams and Trevor Harrison.
Rob Williams.
Do you know Rob Williams?
Isn't he Mork from Mindy?
Yeah, that would be Robin.
Robin Williams.
Mork,
okay.
Did you say Mork from Mindy?
I'm not sure.
Really know what show Mindy was, but right. If you're talking about Robin Williams from Mork and Mindy, then yes.
Okay, so that's not him.
No.
All right,
no.
I just wanted to be sure.
Mork from Mindy. Well, you know, if only Mork could from Mindy, though, that would be a good comic.
All right, let it go.
So Madam X. I chose this because this does have some Halloween-ish type content.
Very
There's
important.
Voodoo and zombies involved.
Oh, Chris, the voodoo that you do is quite impressive.
Voodoo that you do so well.
So, listen, the National Comics, of course, is an imprint of DC Comics.
Yes.
And this is a one-shot. And I guess they've timed it well with the Voodoo Zombie Mystery.
Right.
Sounds like a Scooby-Doo episode.
It really
doesn't
does,
it?
Doesn't yeah. it? Yeah. Ooh,
oh,
re-Reggie.
Yeah.
Oh. Voodoo Zombie Mystery.
Zoinks.
Zoinks.
Oh, cheapers. Zombies.
Yeah. So it looks like it's a fun little book. You know, it's got voodoos, it's got zombies. And what more do you want
it's
around
got
Christmas
mystery.
Time? It's got mystery. That's right.
You know, they're not lying when they say voodoo zombie mystery. And Robin Williams is contributed.
Comes in
as
great.
Mark. Yeah. All right. Hey, listen.
Then he reports to Orson later on and talks about how crappy Earth's Halloween system is.
Beepity, beepity, beepity. Yeah. Okay, Buck. Same guy.
It's no. Buck Rogers and Tweaky.
Buck Rogers, right.
Beepity, beepity, beepity. Okay.
All right.
Re-Reggie.
Listen.
Re-Buck.
Listen. What's this called again? Madam X, one shot from DC National Comics, is at your local comic book shop today.
But nobody's going to want to buy it now.
No, they will. They will. You know what they'd buy if it was Madam XXX?
Yeah, now you're
DC
talking.
DC sales through the roof. So, hey, check out Madam XXX at yeah. your local comic
yes.
book shop today.
And I'm pretty sure Scooby-Doo's in there somewhere.
Scooby-Doo!
All right, next up we've got Captain America number 19, the final issue of Captain America. Can
no.
you believe?
Say
yes,
it ain't so,
I know it is. It is.
It is.
It is the last issue. It and
oh, that's before the Marvel Now.
Well, this is the thing, right? It
Here's
is.
The thing.
It is the last issue. Now, how many last issues of Captain America have there already been?
It's
so
like
far?
The Who final Who tour, the farewell
yeah, exactly.
tour.
That's
for
right.
The
yeah,
who,
that's
you know?
Right. Yeah,
just
the,
kept going.
The Hell Has Frozen Over tour, right?
Yeah.
Remember that
yeah.
from not Honeymoon Suite.
Honeymoon.
Honey.
Honey Pot.
Sure, something like All that. Right. Anyways, this was so it's it. You know what? It's kind
honeymoon
of
Honeymoon Suite. Really? Anybody not 40-something and not living in southern Ontario wouldn't have a clue what that is. Isn't that like a hotel room? All right.
Anyways, so this is Captain America. The thing about this one is that it's a bit of a recap. It's a bit of...
a recap.
It's kind of like a bit of the origin of the characters. It's kind of shows a little bit,
thus,
you know, what's been
recap.
Going on. A little bit. It's really, to me, you know what? It's really not much of an issue at all, but I can understand why. It's the last issue. You know, the new generation of Captain America is coming out next month, so why would anybody care about this one?
Chris, how dare? How dare you say that this is much to do about nothing or much ado about nothing?
Okay, tell me, Shakespeare. Why is it? Why
well, you have, yes? the bard himself, Brubaker, writing this book.
I say.
And you have the Epting drawing it. You know, this is a good creative team here.
Okay, fair
and,
enough.
And, you know, I think the final issue, hopefully, and I haven't read this, okay, but hopefully final issues often segue into what's coming next.
Well, you would hope. You would yeah. hope. I don't know if that's going to happen, but you would hope that that does happen.
Well, I can tell you something right now. On the very back page of this comic
yeah.
is a bold, beautiful advertisement for
bold.
Captain America.
Bold and beautiful, isn't
yeah.
it? Wasn't
yeah.
that soap opera?
It was, yeah. I used to love that show.
Really?
Captain America number one coming soon by Rick Remender and John Romita Jr.
I think it's
Jr.
Rick Remender.
Remender?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Rick Remender and John Romita Jr. So there you go. So,
yes.
If you ever needed a segue, there it is.
Well, there you go. And you know what? I am looking forward to the new Captain America. But you know,
that's your favorite character.
It is.
Captain
it is.
Captain America
my favorite.
Is your man.
He is. Yeah. But here's my question to you: this month in
Traitor.
Marvel, this what? Just hold on a second
okay.
here. This month in Marvel, you're going to have all kinds of last issues, right? There was the last issue of Captain America's here. Last issue of FF comes out this week. There's going to be lots more this month. Should anybody care? Really?
You know what?
You know
I
what?
Don't know.
Should anybody care? Because you know what? Next
because
month,
they're not really the last issues.
Well, right.
You know, Marvel should have done it different. They should have had, like, up to the last issue, they should have had, like, a final countdown.
The final countdown. Yeah.
All right.
That was terrible, by the way.
That probably
Just
won't work.
Terrible. All right.
All right, listen. Hey, Captain America number 19, the last issue. Is at your local comic book shop today. Please go check that thing out.
All right. Now, lastly but not leastly, I have, you know, 100-page spooktacular Ghostbusters from IDW. If comics were sold by weight, this one should be like $85.
Whoa,
it is one
Chris.
Heavy comic.
I'm going to do a set here of bicep.
Yeah,
exactly. Whoa, this is awesome.
Yeah. It's and I'm going to say that this is going to be both my non-Marvel and DC pick of the week, but also my kids' pick of the week, because you know what?
I love how you multitask.
I do that well. Yeah. You know what? It's a great book. It's got a number of great stories in it. Of course, it's Ghostbusters. A number of great stories in it featuring the original movie Ghostbusters. You know, Egon and Venkman and all those guys.
Yeah.
Slimer, you know.
Oh, Slimer.
So you know what? It's got a number of different stories by a number of different artists and writers. It's just a great little book. You know what? And it's not for
that little though. Hey.
Well, you're right. You're right. It's 100 pages and it's heavy. I wouldn't say it's for young kids, but I would say it's great for even like, you know, tweens and early teens kind of thing. It's a great book. It's cartoony. It's fun. It's got ghosts in it. What more do you want for Halloween?
It's a great, great pickup for Halloween. You're absolutely right. This looks good. This is really impressive. And it's got that classic no ghosts thing on the
cover.
That's
right. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Check out Ghostbusters. 100-page spooktacular at your local comic book shop today.
Right.
It looks exciting from IDW. And, of course, those are three that we picked out of literally, what, 3,200 that are coming out today?
I think it was 3,250, but yeah.
Right. And so there are a lot of new stuff down at your local comic book shop, especially right now around Halloween. So I'm sure you'll find something spooky and scary.
Sounds good to me. All right. Let's cut right now to a musical interlude. We've got Elton John and Dan Dare, Pilot of the Future.
I love that. Daniel is traveling tonight on a plane.
So long.
That's the only
Elton.
I love Elton.
He does good work.
Oh, he does excellent work. Yeah. He's got that distinctive voice.
You know, when Disney started getting in all the big names for their movies, you know, they got like Phil Collins to do work for the Tarzan movie.
Right.
Well, Elton John, when they did, they got him for the Lion King movie.
Yeah.
I'd say that was top notch. Like he's my favorite of the big names for those Disney movies.
Right on. Yeah. You know what? I'm a big Who fan, but I love Elton's Pinball Wizard better than the Who's Pinball Wizard. Sounds weird.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't even know that.
Chow plays mean pinball.
I didn't even know that Elton John did a Pinball Wizard.
Oh, for Tommy, he did it.
Really?
Yeah.
You know what? That just shows you.
Tina Turner did the Acid Queen. Ike and Tina Turner did the Acid Queen, and Elton John did Pinball Wizard.
I had no idea.
Look
I had
at you.
No idea.
He did that video where he had the feet, the shoes that were 7 feet tall. You know,
really
the high heel shoes.
But he wears that anyways, doesn't he?
Why am I talking to you?
I don't.
Why am I talking?
Listening. I'm just.
All right. Well, what do we got next?
All right. We've got mailbag. And Comic Culture Mailbag is brought to you by Sexy Superhero Costumes. Halloween is right around the corner. Don't you want to catch the eye of a certain She-Hulk or perhaps Extra Superman? Visit your local comic shop today.
Yeah. Really good progressive comic shops will have Halloween costumes.
That's very good. Hey, Walt, does your comic shop have Halloween costumes?
Absolutely.
Oh, good.
Thanks for asking, by the way. Listen. So where does that take us?
Takes us right to that question from Mailbag.
Okay.
Here, let me.
All right.
I'm not too sure what's going on here. Comic culture.
Yeah, I'm not too sure, Chris. That's for sure.
All right, dear Walt and Chris, Halloween and comic books go together like peanut butter and chocolate. Do you have any tips for great Halloween ideas for a comic book fan? And this is from Dave from Winnipeg.
Dave from Winnipeg.
Yeah,
that's a good question, Dave. I don't know.
Great.
No,
question.
Listen.
I have no idea.
Listen, the great part about Halloween is that it doesn't have to be scary.
No, you're absolutely right.
You know, and I say that Dave should have a Halloween party, but it should be a superhero Halloween party.
Yeah, I agree. You
know,
and you
screw
know what?
The werewolf costume. You're not allowed to bring the Headless Horseman costume. It has to be superhero spandex.
And you know what?
It's a superhero spandex twister playing Halloween party.
I love it. And you know what I like even more than that idea?
What?
I love it when you can combine it, just make it just a little more Halloween-y.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Lord knows everybody loves a little Halloween-y.
Oh, but, yes, they do.
Make it a little bit more Halloween-y and, you know, make it like, you know, zombie, you know, versions of the superhero costumes.
So why do you got to, you know, disagree with what I just
said? I'm not disagreeing, but I'm saying, you know what, make it superhero, but make it zombie superhero. Why not have like
Marvel zombies?
Yeah, like, you know, so you got Spider-Man, but make him, like, you know, have his head torn off or whatever and have it zombified, you know, Spider-Man.
I guess. But you know what? The point is for Dave, he should theme it to comics.
True.
You know what? Because the old, you know, Universal type guys and the old the witch costume. It's passé.
It's very passé.
It's so yesterday.
You know what?
Really?
I think you know what I think somebody should go to if somebody was to go to Dave's comic book themed Halloween party.
Uh-huh.
I think someone should go there as the foot of Galactus, like life size foot of Galactus.
Wouldn't that
just
be awesome?
Just a foot.
Yeah.
Nothing
and another
else.
Guy. Remember. Was it HeroClix?
Yeah.
You bought
something
and you got a part of Galactus.
Right.
So another guy can go as the groin of Galactus.
and then
whoa! Look at the size of that guy. What are you? Oh, do I? You have to ask, really. Wow. He'd be popular, though.
He really
especially
would be.
All those slutty Captain American
Captain,
Girls things.
Captain they, American they, Girls.
Yeah. They would just gravitate to the groin of Galactus.
You know, most people would naturally gravitate to the groin of Galactus.
Right.
Well, because he's so big,
I think
right?
We're on to something.
Yeah, I think so. All right. Galactus is a planet eater, after all.
Yes, certainly is.
Certainly is.
All right, Dave, listen. Theme it for superheroes. The possibilities are endless.
All right, let's keep on going here before we go to another musical interlude. Let us talk about Justice League, Walt. So DC is finally getting on the movie bandwagon. Marvel for years now has, you know, taken the reins as far as what to put out movie wise. They've, you know, accomplished a lot of great things. You know, it took them a long time. You know, they did have, you know, Doctor Strange TV miniseries, and you know, remember there was a Nick Fury
made
for TV
show.
Movie
yeah.
with
David Hasselhoff.
David Hasselhoff. You know, they finally, and then you know,
I got that on VHS.
They have a Punisher movie with Dolph Lundgren. Well, they finally came out with all these great movies. You know, they've got Iron Man, Thor, and finally the Avengers. So now DC is, you know, DC did have a few. They had their, you know, they had the Wonder Woman TV show. They had the Superman movies. They had the Batman movies, but they haven't really done much lately.
What have you
other
done
than
for
the
me
Batman
lately?
Movies?
You know what? That's the problem with DC. I would say, like, correct me if I'm wrong here, Chris.
I will. I love doing that.
Yeah. Well, like, DC sucks. I mean, they stink at movies. Other than the Batman movies.
I agree.
And they screwed up. What's the guy's name? Nolan?
Christopher Nolan.
Chris Nolan.
Yeah.
He saved Batman.
Oh, absolutely.
Because the Batman movies of the 80s and 90s with Arnold's, you know.
I used to see you.
Yeah. And those were, like, terrible.
Yeah, I agree.
I thought, like, man. Like,
it's the car. Chicks dig the car.
Yeah.
Yeah, nobody likes that stuff.
Oh, that was terrible.
Yeah, yeah.
And then Nolan came, especially with the second one.
Yes.
With the Joker and Heath Ledger.
Yeah, yeah.
And excuse me, this just past one was excellent.
Yeah, with Bane, yeah.
And that worked.
Absolutely.
But their Supermans fell flat.
Well, the early Supermen were good with Christopher Reeve.
Well, okay, I'm not talking about 1970.
Okay, but then they had one recently with, I don't know, some guy, Henry something.
Zack Snyder did one, didn't like,
well,
he
directed. He's coming out with one.
Oh, who did the last one? Was it Zack Snyder?
What's that? Was it? Singer. Oh, Brian Singer, right.
Okay, Singer. Okay.
Right, yeah. So anyways, okay.
I knew it was an Ur.
Okay, so anyways, so Justice League, so what they're doing is they've decided, much like, you know how Avengers had all their individual movies, like they had Iron Man, then Thor, and then Captain America, and then it was a culmination into the Avengers?
Yeah.
Well, DC's going to do the opposite. They're going to have the Justice League movie, and then they're going to do offshoots of that afterwards. So then they'll have the Wonder Woman movie and the Superman movie.
You are wrong, DC!
Well, I'm just
wrong!
I'm just telling you what they're doing.
Well,
you know
what? I mean,
although they did try with Green Lantern and it flopped.
Yeah. Well, the Green Lantern, yeah, you're right. And here's the difference. I mean, okay, obviously Marvel went when I look at this, like this came about when I was reading this earlier. This came about because DC won that litigation thing with Superman.
Right.
Right? So they didn't owe the heirs to Superman anything post now, so they can use Superman right away without paying them anything if they use them.
Right.
So they immediately are putting the Justice League thing into planning, into production. Right.
Right.
And it's funny though, and here's the thing that hit me when I was reading this is, see, they had to wait for this Superman deal.
They did.
They had to wait for the Superman agreement before they can greenlight the Justice League.
Right.
When you look at Marvel, when you look at Avengers,
yep.
the next to Titanic, you know, one of the
highest grossing movies of all
one?
Time.
What's that other one to beat Titanic?
Star Wars.
No, the one with
Avatar.
Avatar, yeah. So it's like top five movie of all time,
right.
For sure.
Right.
Okay. When you look at that, when you analyze that, when you think about the fact that the top two Marvel characters aren't in that movie.
It's a good, great point.
Wolverine and Spider-Man are not a part of the Avengers
and
movie.
And it's still top five.
Just put it through the roof.
Absolutely.
Put it through the wall.
Absolutely.
I don't know how
put
to
it,
say it.
Yeah, I like that. Put it through the wall.
And you think DC could pull the trigger on this without soups and bats?
They cannot put it through the wall.
No, they couldn't put it through the wall without soups and bats. They couldn't go near it. They're afraid.
Because really, you know what? Okay, if they had to make that movie without soups and bats,
yeah,
it would be Aquaman.
Hawkman.
Green Lantern.
Oh.
Martian Manhunter.
Oh, Martian Manhunter.
And Wonder Woman.
Stop,
and maybe Black Canary. Flash. Maybe Flash.
Or Black Lightning.
Oh, that'd be good. I like that.
That'd be pretty cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you see, it's the depth of the line. It's who's on the bench? Marvel's got a deeper bench. Right,
absolutely,
and they put this. Like I said before, the Avengers is one of those teams. It was always for Marvel back in the day.
Yeah,
it was one of those teams that I've compared this 100 times on the show, but they're like the Stones in music. You know, the
right.
Rolling Stones.
Right,
the sum of the parts is greater than the individuals.
Absolutely,
right.
Yeah, absolutely.
So the Avengers team, you know, had those. I won't say they weren't B-list at the time. For a while, some of them were B-list.
You're right. You're
and stuff.
Right,
but
yeah.
You put them together, and you didn't need Spidey. You didn't need Wolverine to make a cohesive
team.
The
Avengers, that's right.
And DC doesn't have that. And in hindsight, I guess, maybe they need the Justice League to set up these secondary characters before those guys can get movies.
That's a great point. And maybe you're right, because you know what? With the failure of... of the Green Lantern movie... They realized that maybe they tried to do something, but it didn't work out so well.
Right. All right. Well, listen, I wish them the best of luck. We don't want just one of the big two making good movies. We want the big two both making
Absolutely.
Good movies. We want Image. We want Dark Horse. We want IDW making good movies.
Okay, but here's the thing. If they can have great comic book stories, why can't they have great comic book movies, right? There's lots of great Flash stories out there by both Geoff Johns and Mark Waid. There's lots of great Superman stories out there. I mean, you can even go back to the John Byrne stuff, or you can, you know, even like the original Joe Shuster stuff. Like, you know what? Why not? Like, there's lots of great stuff out there. You know, why not go back to why can't they make great movies out of these characters? But they can't seem to do it. So hopefully this will end that run.
All right. Listen, I'm excited about the Justice League, and let's end it there.
All right. Let's have a quick musical interlude here. And all right, let's go with, oh, I don't know. How about, well, we're talking about Superman. Let's go with Superman.
Chris, that is still, for me, the best comic book movie.
Really? Yeah, the original Superman movie? Superman, yeah. You know what? I do love that one a lot. And
better than the Avengers.
Whoa. Whoa. That's saying something, because I think the Avengers is my favorite comic book movie now.
Yeah?
I think it's fantastic. But
I,
you
like
know what?
The first Superman movie.
You know what? Okay. Now, I don't know if they did this when you were in grade school. Did you ever go to like Hamilton Place or like any like the and have like, you know, go to like the Hamilton Philharmonic or anything like that? And you'd be, did you ever do that when you were a little kid? Like go to see like, you know, the big live orchestra and all that kind of stuff down in Hamilton Place?
No.
I remember a couple times we'd do that with the school, and man, it was like Boersville.
Yeah.
Like it was like listening to all this classical music.
Like,
but,
like the show.
Like this, yeah, kind of, yeah.
Listen to an hour of this.
So, but you know what's funny is that there was one time where it was like the end of the show, and then the conductor comes up and he goes, "Oh, we got something special planned for all you kids out there."
Right.
And they play the Superman music. And it was like, it gave me goosebumps, right? It was awesome.
Wow.
And to hear it live by like an actual orchestra,
big, huge orchestra,
it was awesome. It
was
awesome.
I mean, it is classical music. It's scored by an orchestra and by an orchestra leader.
John Williams.
Didn't he do Star Wars? And didn't he do Indiana
Jones?
Oh, that guy is like, he's the Mozart of the
70s,
really.
He really is. Okay, I know we're going to digress here, but really, what's the difference between, okay, Mozart was making up music in sort of, you know, the orchestral music.
Sure.
For plays and musicals in his day.
In his day.
What's the difference between a guy like him and a guy like John Williams?
Nothing.
Right.
Except maybe, I don't know, what history would judge as, you know, levels of talent.
Right. Okay,
which
fair
to me,
enough.
Williams has, right? But, you
yeah.
know, he may not be like a musical prodigy like Mozart
no.
is. But you see, like a guy like me and you, like, you know what? I mean, we don't know. I don't know. What do I know from modal changes? You know what I'm saying?
Isn't that a car race thing?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
What do I know from this kind of, you know, chord structure?
Right.
You know, what
right.
do I know from that, right?
Yeah, you're absolutely right.
So, you know, Mozart may have been advanced in that kind of stuff.
Sure.
He may have been, you know, autistic to a degree where he does this thing, you know, and nobody else can
yeah,
do it.
Yeah, he's writing
right?
writing music at the
right.
age of four, right?
Yeah. And so all I know is when I hear, you know, the Indiana Jones music.
Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah, I agree.
All I know
I agree.
Is when the Star Wars music comes on, I love it.
It works great.
That's all I know.
Yeah, I know.
Right?
Or when you hear dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun. And it's Jaws, right? You love it, right?
You know my favorite classical music soundtrack?
What's that?
Rocky.
Oh, great. Great stuff. Great stuff.
Yeah, Rocky. Remember
who was
when
it? Was it Henry Mancini? No.
I don't know. Rocky, remember? You know, you want to work out when you want, you know. Like.
Oh, Bill Conti. Bill Conti.
Bill Cosby
good.
Did that?
Good. Did you know that or did you look that up? Did you?
No, I knew that.
Wow! Our engineer is on the ball.
Engineer,
Bill Conti.
Mr. Robot.
Wow, well
knew
done.
That. Yeah. So you know what? Yeah. You know, I love it. And you know these like Superman that we just played.
Yeah.
That's great stuff.
Absolutely.
And it's uplifting and it's super. And like, and you as a kid going to a flipping orchestra performance.
Yeah.
Thinking, what am I going to do there?
That's going to suck. Yeah.
And then you went and you enjoyed it.
Oh, it was great. I loved it. Loved
beautiful.
It. Because it was, you know what, it's something I can relate to.
Music for the masses.
Exactly. All right.
Listen, speaking of Superman.
Yes.
And Clark Kent.
Yes.
Hey, did you know that he just quit the Daily Bugle?
Get out of town. What?
Yeah,
what?
Yeah. Listen, so he's like got nothing to write about, he feels.
Oh,
right?
Okay.
And he hasn't put a story in all week or something. And Perry White comes out and just reams him out. What the hell? You know, I've got to sell newspapers here. Wait, that's J. Jonah Jameson. Sorry.
Ah, Parker.
Parker. Yeah. So I guess Kent gets all pissed off and stuff, and he quits. So he's quitting the what's it?
Daily Planet.
Daily Planet, yeah. So, and that this is made and a great another great thing about comic books is all the wires, all the AP, all the New York Times, they're picking
that,
up the story about Clark Kent quitting the Daily Planet.
It's funny what the news reporters like Reuters and Associated Press and all that what they end up picking up on these different comic book related stories.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I guess Kent gets chewed out by his boss for not having filed a story in a week, and Kent's just saying, you know what, why do I have to do this? I don't have to be a reporter. That's it. I'm out of here. You know what?
Yeah.
I don't care about news anymore. And besides, the press, this paper thing is this whole newspaper thing. It's dying. Right?
Yeah.
And
I don't want to write about Kim Kardashian.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And even Perry White says like the times are changing and print is a dying medium. I don't know if I agree with that.
Yeah.
But you know what? It's interesting. So. Interesting to see what Superman's going to do for a living. I mean, he has to make money, right?
Can you imagine?
I hope he doesn't go to a life of crime.
No, he better not. You know what? He does have an edge if he goes that way.
Well, yeah, he really
but
does.
I think he's pure of heart.
Well, right? I would think so.
Yeah.
Maybe he'll go work at like Harvey's or McDonald's or something.
Well, but here's the thing, Chris. Here's the thing.
I guess it won't be Harvey's in the United States, but yeah.
It may be, I think it's Butterburger.
Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah. Listen, here's the thing for DC, and here's the thing about comics, and
here's the thing.
Is, this is fodder. Now, this is stories. This opens up.
Yes.
Opportunities. Because you and I talked about last week.
Right.
About this flipping Superman guy.
That's been around.
You can't write.
No, because he's been around for 70 years. And
he's
so iconic.
Oh,
he's hard to write. Hard to write.
Dumbass costume with the red shorts. Get rid of that guy.
Well, they got rid of the red shorts in the new 52. Yeah. New 52. But you know what? Like, how do you write a guy who's can do anything?
Well, but again, when we talked about it before, it's like
apparently he can't write.
Maybe they should skew more to Kent.
Right. Right. Yeah.
And then make I think trying to make Superman one of us doesn't work.
No.
Trying to make Superman one of us doesn't work because Superman isn't one of us.
Right.
Superman's a god compared to us.
Absolutely.
Right? So if you wrote Superman like a god compared to us, and you have to be a good writer, which I'm not, but you can write.
You're not?
Right. But Kent is trying to be one of us.
Right.
And Kent just lost his job.
Right.
Or just quit. And, a lot of us want to quit. Right?
That's right.
And,
That's right.
I mean, I've wanted to quit for this stupid thing for a while. I haven't had the heart to tell you the truth. But you know what I'm saying? So here's opportunity here.
That's right.
Here's opportunity here to touch vein with this character to the masses, to you and me.
Absolutely.
Get, you did the right thing, buddy. That kind of stuff.
Yeah, yeah. Stick it to the man.
Yeah. So I don't know. I mean, maybe they're onto a good thing by shaking things up with Clark Kent.
Having superheroes, godlike characters have regular day jobs is actually nothing new. It's been done in comics a lot.
Right.
You know, 10 years ago they had Wonder Woman working at a burger joint, and they've had Wally Wood.
She was the original secretary for the Justice Society of America. You know,
that's right. Yeah. They had Wally West. You know, he had his own thing going on until he won $1 million.
And what did Wally Wood do again?
I think he was like a janitor or something like that. He was a forensics guy.
Right.
Right. So they
CSI.
They all have the day jobs, right?
Yeah.
But you know, I think having the day jobs tries to humanize it, but you know, maybe having a print day job when nobody can really relate to newspapers anymore, maybe this is the part of the problem. Maybe Clark Kent should be going and working on a web designing thing.
Or maybe they need to update it more,
right?
Yeah. Yeah.
But either way, I think it's going to be interesting to see what they do with the character, because as we talked about last week, it's hard to write an omnipotent character that can do anything, right?
So, right.
Because, what's Perry White going to do? Beat the guy up? It's not going to happen.
Yeah, exactly. But, you know, the interesting thing is you and I are sitting here talking about this, talking about the Man of Steel, talking about the latest developments in Superman.
Yep.
And they are the latest development in Superman that got picked up by international media
was him.
Is a development of the
Clark Kent.
Clark Kent.
Yeah, yeah,
the
right.
one that you and I have a chance of relating to.
Right.
And this is a good move by DC.
Right. Maybe he'll go on to become a famous country singer after that.
Yee-hoo!
All right. Well, let's keep going here. Spider-Man. Now, we talked about you talked about Superman, one of the biggest characters in DC. We got to talk about one of the biggest characters in Marvel, and that is Spider-Man. Spider-Man, they're talking already about the sequel to the Amazing Spider-Man movie that occurred this year. And they're talking about the fact that they're going to kill off Gwen Stacy.
No.
Yes. Okay. Of course, killing off Gwen Stacy is nothing new for comic book readers because
they've killed her off.
They've killed her off before, but not in the movies, right? Because we've never seen this happen in the movies, because in the earlier movies, it was all Mary Jane.
Right.
And now they've got Gwen Stacy going. So it looks like Emma Stone, who's the actress who plays Gwen Stacy, could be dying in this. So we'll see. We'll see.
Wow. Chris, you know, that I forget the year. I'm going to say 1973.
Okay.
Amazing Spider-Man number 121.
Right.
Beautiful yellow cover.
Yep.
It's a staple. It's an absolute must for all comic book collectors.
Absolutely, yes.
And it features the death of Gwen Stacy.
That's
when it happened. That book was a game changer. That book is referenced so much as a moment, you know, when comics grew up, when they lost their innocence.
Oh, yeah, right.
And obviously there were underground comics in the late 60s
kinds of crap. But mainstream.
Marvel, DC type, you know, the masses are buying.
Yeah.
It's like, wait a minute, you know what I mean? Like Spider-Man's girlfriend,
yeah.
you know, is killed.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and you know, and of course, right after in issue 122, Spider-Man is you know, pissed, basically.
Yeah.
Pissed, obviously. Just, you know, just. And he kills the
Green Goblin, yeah.
you know, who killed Gwen Stacy.
Yeah.
And those two books are known as the death issues.
Yes.
And they are like, and you can't have one without the other.
No,
I don't know one Spider-Man collector that just says, I have 121 and I don't need a 122.
No,
or vice versa.
Have to have both.
You have to have both.
Now, Walt, I know you grew up reading Spider-Man when you were younger.
Sure
now, you're a little bit older than I am.
Yep.
So now, did you actually read those issues when you were a kid? Or was that something?
No, I read it maybe 2-3 years later.
Okay.
I was 9 when they came out, and I don't think I was reading Spider-Man just yet.
Okay.
I mean, I was into comics then and stuff, but
yeah.
I don't remember picking up the death issues right off the stand. I may have read them like literally a year later.
Right. Okay.
I remember picking them up afterwards. You get in with your buddies and you trade
like
that.
Do you remember, were you shocked when you read that? Was it a big deal?
You heard, like, before I read it, I knew what would happen.
Okay.
Because it was a year after
the fact,
right? And so it was, believe it or not, a desired book, you know, literally a year after it was out.
I believe it. In
the little East Hamilton comic book collector community because, oh, man, this is the issue Gwen Stacy
dies, right? I can see that happening. Because you know what? As collectors, you have a, you know, it's not collectors, but as comic kids, right? You know, you have a little circle of friends that you kind of go talk to about comic books, and that can be the one where it's like, oh man, did you see that one? Did you see it? There was actually a death in a comic.
Yeah.
Right?
And it was a big thing for us. back in the day, and you know, and it's continued to be a big thing. And I think now, believe it or not, that book has always done well on auction. I think it might actually just spike a little bit now.
That's a book that's never really gone down.
Like, ever.
You know what? So, you know, just not to dwell on this stuff, but okay, so Spider-Man 121 to 122, Death of Green Lantern, Death of Green Goblin and Death of Gwen Stacy.
Yes.
And then we had, but then you get a book like, say, Spider-Man 129, not too many issues later.
6 months later.
First issue of The Punisher.
8 months.
And that's a book that sort of fluctuated. I've seen that book sell for thousands of dollars,
right,
and then for like, you know, hundreds, like, you know.
Yeah, and because the character Punisher had an ebb and flow of popularity,
yeah,
whereas Spider-Man has consistently been tier one.
Right.
Right? And when you look back at the title of Amazing Spider-Man, which, by the way, is the most collected comic book title there is.
I bet. Yeah. I
beats Batman, beats Superman, beats Fantastic Four, beats X-Men,
beats
anything. A quick side note here, just for people. When comics are traded on internet auction sites, if you level the playing field and count comics from Spider-Man on.
Yeah.
So, you know, you can't count things from the 30s and 40s because Spider-Man wasn't there to compete with them.
Right, right.
So if you basically did the Silver Age, which is 1956 and on, if you compared Silver Age, Bronze Age, Modern Age, you know, from 56 and on, and if you looked at all the registered comic sales on all the auction sites, the Amazing Spider-Man title and the Amazing Fantasy, the first appearance of Spider-Man, accounts for one in every $4 of comics traded.
No kidding, eh?
That's phenomenal because Spider-Man represents 25% of all the money changing hands online for comic books that are graded.
Well,
and you know, massive characters like X-Men and Batman are accounting for 9 to 10% tops.
Yeah.
This is how powerful a character Spider-Man is in the collecting community.
Yeah.
And when anything happens big to that character, like 121, where Gwen Stacy dies, or 122, this is a must-have.
Yeah, that's great. Great point. And, you know, I didn't realize that the percentage-wise was so high.
So high.
Right?
More than double the next best thing.
That's interesting. That's very interesting. All right. Well, let's keep on going here. Now, do we want we don't want a musical. No, we just had that with Superman. Let's we need to talk about Stan Lee. Talking about Spider-Man. Need to talk about Stan Lee.
Well, this is Spider-Man special.
This is Stan Lee. You know what? I used to love that when I would watch the early Saturday morning cartoons and we watched The Amazing Spider-Man and His Amazing Friends. And Stan Lee would come on and go, "This is Stan Lee." And he would narrate the cartoon like as what's going to happen. Oh, it's just awesome. Anyways.
Yeah.
Okay.
Memories.
So Stan Lee, it should have happened a long time ago, is now his own movie coming out called With Great Power, The Stan Lee Story. And you know what? This should have happened years ago.
Who stars in it?
Stan Lee. You know what? Okay.
Stan Lee plays himself.
So it's Stan Lee plays himself.
Right.
It's called With Great Power, The Stan Lee Stories. And it's celebrity admirers such as Samuel L. Jackson, Kevin Smith, and Eva Mendes. I had no idea Eva Mendes was a fan.
Who's Eva Mendes?
Famous actress, good-looking girl. She's in Ghost Rider, you know. So they are going to pay tribute to the guy that created all these Marvel characters, you know, from Spider-Man.
Hold on. Back that up. Beep.
Beep. Beep. Beep. Beep. Beep. Yes.
All right. Co-created.
Okay.
Stan, I love you, Stan. Stan, don't get me wrong. I love Stan Lee. Don't get me wrong. You and I wouldn't be on a radio show, the number one Hamilton radio show. It just moved from the number one CFMU radio show,
the
by the way,
Hamilton
to
show.
The number one Hamilton show. We wouldn't be on the number one radio show in Southern Ontario.
Without Stan Lee.
If it wasn't for Stan Lee.
Absolutely.
Literally.
But you're right. You're right. And this is something that I'm surprising that I didn't say this because normally I'm the one that kind of bashes Stan a little bit.
Okay.
Because you're right. It is the co-creator. Without guys like Steve Ditko and Jack Kirby and a myriad of other guys out there, we wouldn't have the kind of characters that we have. However, he is credited with co-creating.
Oh, and I'm sure he deserves the accolades that he gets.
But this is interesting. I did not know this. So did you know that Stan Lee's characters and his work appears now in more than a billion comics across 75 countries and 25 languages?
Wow.
What have you got to say for that?
Yeah, I'm just so glad. That's more views than the Gundam style.
It really is, isn't it?
It's a comic style.
Comic style.
Comic style. Billion views, baby, by people around the world. That's awesome, yeah.
The guy
25 languages.
25 languages, 75 different countries. The guy is 89 years old,
yeah.
And he's created more than 500 pop culture characters.
Co-created.
I'm just.
Or probably created a bunch of them. But
he's probably created a bunch on his own.
We know that he co-created.
You know, like, who created Will o' the Wisp?
Yeah, exactly.
You know, Angar the Screamer.
Yeah.
You know, exactly. Yeah, yeah, that's right.
Yeah, I'm on to you, Chris. Yeah, I'm on to you. I mean, I'm with you.
Right.
I said that wrong.
Yeah, I don't like it when you're on me. Anyways, right. Directed by Terry Douglas, who. He's doing this show, and it's got a bunch of different people in it, as well as
Nikki Frax is in it.
Nikki,
can't wait for that.
So Sean Astin, why is Sean Astin? He was in like The Hobbit, or he's in like The Lord of the Rings. Why is he in this movie?
I have no idea.
Yeah, he's in The Goonies. That's right. Hey, good call.
Hey, Louis Ferrigno. Louis Ferrigno's in it, which is great.
And, James Franco, Tobey Maguire.
What's his name? Brett Favre? John Favre?
Brett Favre. Where did he see?
I'm reading it. It says John. Yawn.
Yeah, Favreau.
Favreau. John Favreau. Favreau.
The guy that directed Iron Man.
Oh, right. Okay. Yeah.
And, I've heard of him. Nicolas Cage, Kirsten Dunst, and Kenneth Branagh. Sir. Isn't he like one of those sir?
Kenneth Branagh.
He should be a sir by now, isn't he?
Yeah, he should be. Did you know Elton John is a sir?
Yeah, Sir Elton John.
Sir Elton John. And I'm figuring Kenneth Branagh should
Be
a
should
sir.
Be. He should
what
be.
Did he do, Kenneth Branagh?
He did the Thor movie, but he's also done a lot of other movies.
Right. He did a lot of Shakespeare type stuff.
Yeah, yeah,
right.
Like Hamlet and that kind of thing.
Good for him.
Anyways.
Tip, Kenneth.
Tip.
Keep a stiff upper lip, old boy.
I say, old boy.
You'll get your knighthood, young man.
Tip. Anyways.
Where's Christopher Walken doing? Never mind. Anyway.
Anyways. Comes to DVD November 6th. Hey, you know what? My birthday is just after that. It'd be a, you know, hint, hint. That'd be a great birthday present for a guy that's turning 21.
Wow.
Yeah.
Look at you, Chris. Listen, yeah. If you're listening and you want to buy Chris a birthday gift, get him the Kenneth Branagh. No. With great power, the Stan Lee life
story.
No.
Get me the Kenneth Branagh story, because that's what's really important here. That's what we need to
that's
hear.
What we, want.
We need to hear the Kenneth Branagh right. story.
Chris, why don't you give us some music?
Oh.
Help me out here.
Darn tootin', I will. All right, let's go with, here we go, Marvel Superhero.
A sulky, over bumpy, kinda hulky superhero.
Hot to twisted and electrically transistored superhero. An exotically neurotic
and aquatic superhero.
The Marvel superheroes have arrived.
Superpowered from the forehead to the toes.
Watch them change their very shape before your nose.
Arcane striking superhero, change to fighting superhero.
Dingin' real, swingin' shield, flingin' superhero.
They're the latest, they're the greatest, ultimatest superhero.
The Marvel superheroes have arrived.
Quality stuff. I haven't heard that before. You haven't played that before, have you?
I played it once or twice. It's been a while.
I wasn't paying attention.
Probably not. All probably right. not. You know,
well, it's good stuff.
You don't pay much attention to anything I do these days.
Chris, Batman Lego movie trailer.
This is awesome. This is awesome. So, okay. So, you know, for those of you in the know, in the...
which is you and I, really.
With it, in the Lego world,
there
is... You know, there's the Lego sets, which have the Batman Lego sets and the Marvel Lego sets and all kinds of Lego sets.
Yeah.
But, you know, more...
Star Wars is a big Lego
Star Wars is
property,
huge.
Yeah.
But more importantly, in the video game world, there's also the... There's been a lot of Star Wars Lego games, but there's also been a lot of Batman Lego games.
Mm-hmm.
I shouldn't say a lot. There's been two. There's Batman, and then more recently, there's the Batman and the DC Superheroes one. And hugely popular. Everybody loves the Lego versions of these popular characters. So why not have a Lego Batman movie?
That is amazing. Now I'm wondering if our good friend Greg Hyland is going to be participating in the art and the storyboarding for this movie. And Greg, if you're listening, and I know you are, Greg.
Yes, let us
Greg,
know.
Greg, just put something in the comments field whether you are participating or they've asked you to do anything to this Batman Lego movie. This is cool.
This is very cool. It's going to have, of course, Batman and Robin, as well as some of the other Justice League characters such as Wonder Woman, Martian Manhunter, Cyborg, and Green Lantern.
Cyborg!
Yeah, it's cool, eh?
Wow.
For those of you in
the... So, hold on.
Oh.
So, this is...
Just cut me off. It's okay.
I'm sorry.
It's all right.
Go ahead, then.
No, you go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
No, you.
All right.
After you.
Fair enough. Indubitably.
Indubitably.
I say. Where was I?
I don't know.
Okay. So my question is this going to be like a Pixar type of graphics?
That's a great question. I would imagine it is going to be 3D. Yeah. However, I don't know if it's going to be like – is it going to come to the movie theaters or is it going to go straight to DVD? I would find it hard to believe that it's going to go straight to that it's going to go to a movie theater.
Right.
However, straight to DVD, absolutely. But you know,
now DC has had DC's smart. You know, remember Marvel was talking a couple years ago, let's make these $6 million budget movies and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And DC is quietly, you know, even though they've missed, they've pooped the bed.
Yeah.
On their big feature films.
Yes, they really have.
But they've quietly put out these cartoon DVDs.
A lot
of
them.
Justice League. And a lot of them have been really successful.
Yeah. Well, and most recently they did a Batman Dark Knight Returns DVD part one based on the Frank Miller series, right?
And they're doing so well with those. And those are kind of under the radar.
Yeah.
And they're kind of aimed at a fan base that already exists, right? So you're saying that, you know, this can go the same way, basically. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. Well, I hope that it would be big enough, because how cool would that be to go to the movie theater and see an actual big screen Lego Batman movie, right?
Ooh.
And I don't see why they couldn't do that. Lego is certainly popular enough, and Batman is certainly popular enough. Why not combine the two and have a great big Lego Batman movie that is you can show on the big screen?
Chris, you should go into marketing.
Well, you know, I really should have.
No, you should have. You should have. Your problem, you're too good looking.
Yeah, I know. I get that
all the time. It's always
a
curse.
I know, it really is. It's a
but
curse.
You, this is good.
Because you know what? Nobody pays attention to what I'm saying. They're just
looking. Yeah, exactly. They're just looking at
you. Right? I know. I can't help it.
No, but you're right. Everything lines up here.
Yeah.
Lego, Batman.
Yeah.
Movie.
It's all you need is a good storyline and make it funny. Make it good enough for the parents to enjoy watching it, and make it fun enough for the kids to enjoy watching it. And bada boom, bada bing, Bob's your uncle. There you go. You got yourself a movie.
There you go. Yeah. All right, let's continue on with movie trailers.
Yes. Interestingly enough.
What's interesting?
Iron Man 3.
Oh, right, yeah, Iron Man 3.
Set you up.
I saw the 2-minute clip on Comic Book Daily yesterday, and it looked good.
Yeah.
I mean, this movie looks good.
It's going to be great. Right. It's going to be fantastic. Now, this is the one, I don't have any specs on it, but this is the one, if I'm right.
Mm-hmm. You're often not.
Which I'm often not, but if I am right, Jon Favreau is not directing this one, if I'm right.
You might be right.
I don't remember the name of the guy that is directing it, but...
Orson Welles.
Shane Black.
Shane Black. Shane Black.
Our engineer comes in again.
Wow.
Two for two tonight. Off. Yeah, it's good.
Good.
What'd you say?
Orson Welles. Orson Welles.
Rosebud. Shane Black. And Shane Black has done a bunch of other action movies, and apparently he's quite good at what he does. So Iron Man 3 movie trailer on Comic Book Daily. If you do want to go and check it out yourself,
it
will be there.
It looks pretty cool.
Yeah.
All right, Chris, we've got a little bit of time. Let's talk about Halloween.
We've got to talk about Halloween. It is coming up soon.
We are the number one show in Canada.
We are.
The radio show.
Hey, we're going to have a Halloween show next week.
Yeah,
we are. Today.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we champion the local comic book shop.
Yes, yes. And so why not talk about what's going on?
Why not plug my store?
And a couple others. Well,
yes,
at least
that's
one
right.
other store. At least one other store.
A few others. Let's talk about what comic shops, wherever you're listening, you head down or you check their website, because usually local comic book shops, they usually got some young punk ass kids that are doing the website and stuff like that. You know,
you know what? Oh, why is it that comic book shops, all the employees there kind of treat the customers like, you know,
Crap?
Crap, yeah.
Except ours.
I don't know about that, but anyways.
Oh, okay. So just jump on your local comic book shop's website, and they're going to have some description of some Halloween event that they got going on.
Okay, let's. We don't have much time here.
Okay, so
Bigby,
the Hamilton Bigby, has what do we have?
Night of the Living Dead Halloween party.
Night of the Living Dead live Halloween party.
Well, you know what? You could have just jumped in on that.
Right. Night of the Living Dead live Halloween party. So we're getting the executive producer.
Right.
What's his name again?
Marty Berthelmer.
Marty Berthelmer. Yeah, I forgot his name. And we're getting he's bringing a couple of schmoes in with him.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Are they giving away.
Are they going to be zombies? All we're going to hear is.
No. They are quite. Apparently.
Brains.
Right. No, there will be zombies at that event.
Oh.
Marty assured me that there will be 7 or 8 zombies.
Okay.
So a couple will be his ex-girlfriends. But the point is that's going to be a cool thing Saturday the 27th in Hamilton.
Very cool.
I know the Big B, Barry, is doing the zombie walk up in Barry.
Oh, nice.
So there's a lot of Halloween activity, and comic book shops are participating. Now, I know our friends at the Silver Snail in Toronto,
George,
they're throwing a big Halloween party outside the store.
And they've done that every year for a long time now. But it's interestingly enough, before it was sort of an invite-only, you know, very closed circuit kind of thing. Now it seems like they've opened it up to whoever wants to come, because now you can buy tickets both at the store and online. Tickets are $20 each. And however, you'd have to be at least 19 years old or older, and no tickets will be sold at the door. And you have to show up in costume. You can't show up in your jeans and T-shirt. Yeah, I'm going as me as a younger version.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah. Which is lame-ass
lame. Yeah.
Now, I forgot to mention that the Big B stores will have Halloween contests too, and as will, Comic Book Addiction and Whitby, my friends out there.
Oh, they're having Steve and Nick,
they're having a big costume contests, I think, are a staple of most Halloween activities at local comic book shops. So the Snail event looks really good. Are you going to that?
No.
I guess you don't get invited anymore, right?
No, I don't.
What happened?
It's been a long time since I've gone to any of those costumes.
All right, I won't
go into
that. Anyway, wherever you're listening, our friends out in London, Heroes, they're going to put on a good do, I'm sure. The Dragon in Guelph.
Right.
Check them out. Paradise Comics out in Toronto, too. I'm sure all these, if you go on their websites, I don't have all the details of their Halloween activity.
Why not?
But, because I was just basically unprepared.
We asked you to do one job here, and you can't.
I know, I swear. Yeah, listen, next week, I swear, I'll bring my A game.
Yeah, it'd be nice if you brought your A game once at least
on
the show.
So go out, please, and support. Not only your local comic book shop, but your local comic book shop at Halloween.
Right, absolutely.
Well, they got free stuff,
right? I mean, everybody loves free stuff. Hey, wasn't there supposed to be another free comic book day coming up? And wasn't it supposed to be around Halloween?
Yeah, I think this is the year they're launching the kind of first one, but it's kind of
so nobody's giving out free comics
a bit. Then. Yeah, it's not organized well, and I think maybe they're going to check out what went wrong and maybe reevaluate
right.
for next
well,
year.
Well, let's hope they do, because every day everybody loves free comics.
Yes, they do.
All right. Well, unfortunately, that is all the time that we have for today.
All right. So, Comic Culture, the number one show in the world, is produced by Anthony Falcone and engineered by young Andrew Robach, who had all the answers today, by the way.
He really did. He was great. He was 2 for 2.
Really, really good. For comments and suggestions, visit comicbookdaily.com, click on the podcast link, scroll down to the comments field, and please add your comments. Also, listen to us at getthepointradio.com and
Comic Book Daily.
Am I done?
comicbookdaily.com.
I think I'm done. Right. All right.
And remember, when armed and facing zombies, always aim for the head. You must destroy the brain.
You must destroy him. Please, especially at Halloween, go out and support your local comic book store.
And have yourself a great day.